Welcome to Changemaker with founder of Gypsy Tea and social entrepreneur Zina Muzika.
This new podcast is to help you embrace change and experience amazing people and entrepreneurs. We're going to be sharing secrets, habits, and change-making abilities with you so that you can apply them to your life and make a life of your dreams.
This is Changemaker with Zina Muzika.
Hello, and welcome to Changemaker. I'm your host, Zina Muzika. Today, we have J.I.V., as our guest. We are in for a treat. He is a hip-hop poet, musician, actor, and speaker. Jay grew up in Chicago's South Side and first discovered his affinity for poetry after a routine school writing assignment. Today, he is a leader in the hip-hop poetry community, having won a Peabody Award for his performance on Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry. He was also awarded a Grammy for his contribution with Jay-Z on Kanye West's The College Dropout album. Jay has collaborated with John Legend, RZA, The Last Poets, The Roots, Common, Mos Def, The Black Crowes, Bob Dylan, and many more. Hey, welcome to the show, Jay.
It's my absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So I want to talk with you. First of all, I want to just, I started writing poetry when I was a kid. I stopped after many years because my dad told me, hey, you can't make money writing poetry. You better figure it out, get a day job, become a teacher, whatever it's going to be. So I want you to tell me what it's like to be a grown-up poet in America today.
You know, it's so funny that you say that because I get into conversations with people all the time. I'm just meeting, and they often ask, what do you do, you know, when you get into that part of the combo? Like, oh, okay, so what do you do? I'm like, I'm a poet. They're like, oh, okay, that's cool. What do you do? I'm like, I'm a poet. They're like, I get that, but what do you do? I'm like, I write poetry. You know, and I know it's so odd to hear, you know, but it's truly, truly been amazing to be able to stand on that, because it is truly my passion and my purpose, and I absolutely love poetry. So to be able to you know, be a grown up and live from my art, it's absolutely amazing. I love it.
So it can be done, folks. All of you who are listening, I just want to let you know we have a living example right now. So,
but
tell me about the first poem you wrote. I mean, you started writing poetry from a school assignment. Tell me about that aha moment.
So that moment was, it was my junior year of high school, and my English teacher, her name is Miss Argue. And what I learned is that you're not going to argue with someone named Miss Argue. So she gives us this homework assignment to write a poem, and like I was good at writing notes to girls, but I didn't think, you know, that it was necessarily a gift or I was talented at it. I knew that if I had something to say, that I knew that I knew how to put it into words, but other than that, I didn't think anything of it, you know. So I wrote my homework home, and I really wanted to just get through it as fast as possible. So I was sitting in my room at my mother's house, and I'm looking around the room, like, what can I write about? What can I write about? And I looked out the window, and I saw a cloud. So I said, hey, I'll write about a cloud. I'll write this poem called It Once Was a Cloud. So I wrote this poem, and the next day I bring it to class, and I'm thinking this is just something my teacher's going to see. So when she surprises us and tells us that everyone's going to read their homework in front of the class, I'm like, oh, man, why did I have to write about a cloud? I'm like, my boys, they got enough to talk about. You know,
they got enough. It was a challenge to your enough manhood.
Yeah, I'm like, they already have enough ammunition. My clothes are bumpy, and, you know, my haircut wasn't always right, you know. And now I had to go and add some clouds on top of it, you know. So, I was embarrassed, but you know, so I didn't want to write it. I didn't want to read it, but I had to. So I read it, and then after the class, she pulled me to the side, and surprisingly, she gave me an A on it. I wasn't getting 3 A's at the time, so I was excited about that. So I got an A on the poem, and then she told me, she said, "You look, you have a very nice speaking voice. I want to put you on the show." So I was very shy and to myself, you know. But so I didn't do the show, and then she had a couple weeks went by. She had another show come up. She said, "You know what?" She said, "Last time I asked you to do the show, and you faked me out. This time I'm not asking you. You have to do the show." So when this argue challenged me, I said, well, it was something about the challenge. It just really, you know, just perked my interest, I guess. And so I took on a challenge and I went and performed in the show, my first time ever on stage, nervous and scared as I was. I got a standing ovation. I just fell in love with it. And I didn't even know what I fell in love with, but I just fell in love.
How about it was your soul? This reminds me of a story. I think it's in the seat of the soul. It was about Ella Fitzgerald. She was a dancer, and one day she was going up on stage to dance, and she just out of the blue decided to sing, and started singing.
Wow.
Yeah, and everybody just went, "Oh my God! Like, this is an incredible talent!" And it just happened, and all of a sudden she was in. You know, those are the times when those quick instances, your soul just makes itself apparent. So it sounds like a standing ovation your first time up, even if you had the wrong haircut and you're talking about clouds. It sounds like you're doing soul work here.
Yeah, it was that moment because, you know, for me, you know, in retrospect, it's like, oh, wow, like what would have happened if I didn't have that moment? Like where would my life have gone? You know, what would I be doing now? Like I can't even imagine, you know, these years without poetry as my companion and the stage as my home. Like I just can't imagine it. And so and it took this wonderful, wonderful teacher to say, look, I see something in you and I want you to do something with it. And it was something I had no, I was blind to it.
Absolutely.
I was completely blind to it.
Absolutely.
You know, so yeah.
So tell me, so you talk about purpose and passion, and that's my gig. I wrote a book, Life by the Cup, a while ago and it's all about, you know, my son was my purpose and I needed to get him some operations and get him out of harm's way. And I was a single mom. I had $6 to my name and my purpose was that baby boy. And then my passion grew from there. I built a business, a multimillion-dollar business eventually. And I just always wonder, you know, how somebody comes to their purpose because that passion is what actually fuels you to be unstoppable in life. So you came to your purpose, which is poetry. And then tell me about what that passion looks like every day, how it plays out. Like, how did you end up in this project with Russell Simmons? How did you end up in this project with Kanye West? Like, how did your passion and being in your purpose actually guide you there?
Yeah, for me, it was always one thing leading to the next. Just looking at my life, my father, he was a DJ. He's an on-air personality, and he did talk radio. And I would actually listen to him on the radio before I walked to school this morning. And my mother, she's now retired, but she's a registered nurse. And you know, she worked. She had a dialysis unit that she worked in, and she worked. You know, she just worked with people every day. So for me, I always kind of looked at it like my purpose is to use my voice to help heal people. Mm. And that's kind of been the synergy of all of my writing. And it wasn't planned to be that way. You know, it wasn't something that I said, oh, he's a DJ, she's a nurse, I'm a good, it wasn't so contrived. It just, you know, my work has always been just centered around just wanting to lift people up and inspire people because that's what people have done for me. You know, I'm a tearjerker. You know, or my tears get jerked. You know, like if you turn on the movie Rudy right now, I guarantee you,
I'm with you. I cry on commercials. I cry over. A bunny runs across the road and I cry. I mean, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, like I'm a feeling. I'm a feeling. I can't, you know, it's just something about those emotions. Like I just really, really feel things. And for me, just as far as my purpose, I've always just wanted to ignite and spark something in people and just leaving with a smile on their face, leaving with a sense of new hope or reminding them of the hope or reminding them of themselves and the power that they have, you know, to do whatever it is that they want to do. So
absolutely.
I've just always been driven by that. And then along the way, you know, as far as like, you know, with a Russell Simmons deaf poetry or me doing something with Kanye, it was me moving in that purpose. And then when the opportunity knocked, because I never stopped moving. When the opportunity did knock, I was prepared for those moments to step up to the plate and say, look, there's my voice, listen. You know,
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's talk about Dear Father, your new book that just was released. Congratulations. I know what it takes to get a book out into the world, and I'm very excited about this. It's beautifully written.
Thank you.
I apologize. I didn't get to the end. I read as fast as I could before, you know, today, but I'm really looking forward to finishing the book. It's just, it's written so poetically and just exquisite. It doesn't feel like there's an extra word at all in the whole book. It's just really well done. I commend you. And tell me what it took to, you know, go from poetry and being on stage and performing to sit down and actually write something that's so cathartic, because and it was about a big subject with your dad.
Yeah, it was, and for me, like, just getting to the point of writing the poem Dear Father, it was definitely a journey, which is what the book is about, is this journey leading up to me writing this poem, or more so finding the power in forgiveness and breaking through this pain that has weighed me down. So when I finally arrived at that moment, I was in a depressed state. I was having relapses of emotions because still grieving because my father had now passed. Like he was in my life when I was younger. Then my folks, you know, alcohol and drugs became a factor. My folks divorced, you know, after the fights and all that good stuff. And after the divorce, I didn't see or hear from my father for 10 years.
Were you still listening to him on the radio at that point?
No, part of the reason why the alcohol, the drugs being a factor is because he lost his job. I don't know why he lost his job, but he lost his job and he fell into his depression and he wasn't working. And I wasn't used to seeing my father not working. He was always doing something.
Yeah.
But that was part of the separation. So 10 years go by, I didn't see her from. And I remember one day my cousin, she told me after I got home from school, after I flunked out of college and I was at home, I remember talking to my cousin and I was just telling him how I was feeling. Because when I started writing, that was kind of reflecting factor on who I was. And I was starting to see myself, you know, through my poetry. And the more I dug into the poetry, the more upset I would get because my father was there. So I told her how I was feeling, and she told me, she said, look, she said, the only way you're going to get over that pain is you have to learn how to forgive. She said, if you don't forgive, you're going to carry that pain with you the rest of your life. And, you know, that being that she's older, big cousin, who I love and adore, her words really hit home. And I really reflected and thought about what she said. I really took heed to what she said. And one day I decided to forgive my father. And the day I decided to forgive, which was a Thursday, 2 weeks later on a Thursday, he called me out of the blue after 10 years. So we reconnected. But then a year and a half after we reconnected, he passed away. So I'm just going through this roller coaster of emotions. So one day I had this conversation with my mother, and I just moved out to New York, and she called me up. She said, look, what's going on? You haven't talked to me, and I know something's going on. What is it? And for the first time, I opened up and I told my mother how I was feeling. And she listened patiently, and then she lit into me, and she said, look, she said, your father was a good man. Let him rest in peace. And it was something so powerful about my mother saying it to me. One, I knew that, you know, one is my mother, so what she says, I'm listening. You know, two, she never spoke ill of my father. I really took notice to that. And if anyone could speak ill of him, it would have been her. And then at the end of it, I did know my father was a good man. You know, he went through things as a child, and he had a very abusive childhood, and he grew up with this pain. And, you know, as they say, hurt people, so he hurt those closest to him. So I got to this point where I decided to write this poem the next day after that conversation with my mother, and I wrote this letter. I could immediately feel the weight, you know, lift off, you know. So I get out after writing it, I decide to, and even though there were tears on the page when I wrote it, you know, it was actually the happiest poem I've ever written. Mm-hmm. So I decided to get out and start sharing. So I get out, start performing it, and I did it on the poetry. And then I started to get feedback from people. And then I would, you know, I would find myself in shows and having conversations with people. And I found that the story leading up to the poem was just as, or if not more, powerful than the poem itself. You know, so I felt there was a lot of power in it. And that's what kind of led me to decide to write the book.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Changemaker with Zina Muzyka.
Let's talk about the power of forgiveness, because it seems that you take your life's experiences and you transmute them into poetry, and you are able to heal others and help transform people. Let's talk about this power of forgiveness that you experienced and what you learned from forgiving your father.
Wow, what I learned is that pain this is what I learned. Either operate in love or fear. It's one or the other. And when it comes to fear, pain, anger, depression, anxiety, stress, they all branch from that fear factor, that fear tree. What I learned is if you're operating in that you're taking away from, that space that where the love and joy and happiness and compassion and giving, all those things, like to reside in. I feel like you only have so much space inside and you have all this junk piled up, you know, you can't clean out for that fluidity. You can't clean out for that peace that we're all looking for. And so for me, I learned that, the power I learned in is that, you know, you can just live a more peaceful existence, you know, and the blessings that are coming your way, they aren't blocked by the fear that you may want operated in. You know, for me, like, even for example, there's two examples I give. One was when I had the opportunity to be on the Kanye album. That was shortly after I wrote the poem Your Father. So if you ever get a chance to hear the song's called Never Let Me Down, and it's on Kanye's first album, College Dropout. And it's Jay-Z on the first verse, Kanye, and then me doing the poetry on the third verse. And I was able to deliver. When I got that phone call, which was, it was a spur of the moment. One of my guys called me like, Jay, you need to get to L.A. right now. Kanye has a song with him and Jay-Z on it. He want to put a poet on. I told him he need to put J.I.D. on it. I got that phone call, and 10 minutes later, yeah, after hearing the song over the phone, I hung up the phone. I said, you need to write something right now. I wrote a piece, and I called them back in 10 minutes. And they think, I know, I'm on a plane to go to L.A. to perform on this record. And it was because that I had broke through that pain, and I had gotten through because, you know, with that I hopped on the train of forgiveness, and I plowed through that pain. And then when I got through it, was this blessing waiting for me, and I was able to deliver, you know. So, and then the other example is, you know, my father, he passed November 15th, 1999, and I was actually offered a book deal to write a book about my father on November 15th of 2013, and wow. It just showed me, I was like, okay, you know, I got chills. You know, some hairs rolled. I looked up. I said, thank you, thank you, thank you. My tears were jerked once again. and it just showed me how much power it is and just being able, you know, find the courage to let go.
I love that. And for our listeners, J.I.V. can be found at j.ivy. Or j/ivy.com. You have a beautiful website, and your spirit really shines through, Jay. And so, I do agree that we've got to sweep the porch. You know, it's kind of a theory or a ritual in Japan where they sweep away the cobwebs, the leaves, the old. They clean and, you know, declutter and make space for opportunity. And I think that you're right. I think forgiveness actually opens up the space for your destiny to come in and guide you to the next place. And it's a, you know, I think forgiveness is a gatekeeper of sorts. And
yeah. It really is. I truly believe that. It reminds me, too, of that Eric Badu song, Bag Lady.
Oh, yeah.
Bag Lady, you go hurt your bag, dragging all those bags like that. I mean, you have to, it's like, if you don't let those bags go, then you won't have...
Absolutely.
You won't be able to carry anything else.
Absolutely. Hey, I want to talk about the creative process for a moment. I'm a writer as well, and I definitely have to make space for writing. I'm really busy. I got two kids and the podcast and a publishing house at Atria, Simon & Schuster. And so I am slammed, but I notice if I set a timer and I set space to write, I am happier and more fulfilled and more joyful, and I feel fed in a sort of way. Can you talk a little bit about the creative process for you and what it does for you?
Yeah, it's one of the most beautiful feelings I have is buying a new notebook and knowing that I'm gonna fill it up and then seeing the pages fill. There's something so special about that. By the same words.
So you write by hand. I write by hand too.
I do. It's something. I feel like, you know, there's more feeling in it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I can just feel it more. And then for me, when I do write, it's almost like a puzzle. When I write, I have a blank page. You know, I have the one page on the left, and what I'll do is when I know what I'm talking about, I just jot down everything that comes to my mind. I won't think about structure. I won't think about where the piece is going. You know, I'll just write down the first thing that comes to mind. And, you know, if I'm talking about, you know, I'm looking out the window and I see snowy New York, I'm cold and flakes and coats. And, you know, I'll just write down whatever comes to mind and how I feel. And then I'll take those words or those phrases, and then I'll tie them into the story that I'm looking to write. And getting to a finished piece, a finished poem, a finished product is just such a beautiful feeling to look at something and say, wow, I created something.
Absolutely.
that wasn't there, now it is. You know, it's so amazing to see that, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Absolutely. So Dear Father is the subtitle is Breaking the Cycle of Pain, and it can be found on Amazon. It can be found at Barnes & Noble. It's pretty much everywhere now, right?
Yeah, it's everywhere. Go get it.
Yeah, no, I'm. That's why you're here. We want people to go get this. This is a beautiful, beautiful book, and written by Jay Ivey, who is our guest today. And Jay, I know that you've been performing Dear Father a lot, and I'm going to give you an option. I'd really love for you to perform one of your pieces for our audience, and I'm not sure if it's going to be the poem of the cloud or if you want to do Dear Father, but intuitively, what are you feeling right now? I know it's late where you are, and we're on the West Coast, so it's a little earlier here, but I'd love for you to perform for us if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, I would love to. Well, since I spoke it up, well, I'm torn. I have a poem called Dream Big. I love performing, but I know I've been speaking about Never Let Me Down, so I was thinking maybe I'll do that since I spoke about it.
They both sound great, and Dream Big sounds really good, especially for my audience. They are all about learning to go after their audacious dreams. So,
okay, so I'll do Dream Big this time. Later, I'll do Never Let Me Down.
Awesome.
So Dream Big says, true life may seem at an all-time low. You tried everything, but you can't seem to find your flow. So success comes slow and problems tend to grow. You see your friends shine like it's 100 degrees while you chilling at 10 below. It's cold out here. It's freezing. The bad times are increasing. Bad energy is all that your surroundings are releasing. So misery's been feasting on your soul. Vices grab hold and loads get heavy. You feel so heavy, but you can't block your blessings. When they come your way, you gotta be ready, ready to receive. You gotta shake off the fear and believe, because at times we're tested, tested to see how strong we really are, how far we really go. There's an army growing, but you can't join unless you know what you fight for. Because if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. So stand tall. Know that you can't walk until you crawl. You can't run until you walk. You can't fly without a running start. So pump your arms when you come off the blocks, and it won't do you no harm to come off your blocks. Get out and see the world, because everyone has their own mountaintop. It wasn't promised to a few, but promised to those who knew. To climb the way you breathe and never stop. Inhale your best. Exhale the BS. Keep on keeping on. See where you're going and work on getting there. Don't hate on others when others get theirs, because you go get yours. You go knock down your own doors. Know that God go take care of you and yours. That's why miracles happen out of the blue. So know that and remember that can't nobody stop you but you, because dreams don't come true. They are true. So dream big. Then after that, dream even bigger. So big that Martin and Coretta are up in heaven holding hands, bowing down on us with a tear in their eye and joy in their heart, saying, amen, amen, amen.
I love that one. I listened to it earlier on Spotify.
thank you.
I was waiting for my son to get out of high school, and I was listening to it, and I thought, oh, he's going to get in here and listen to this and think I'm cool finally.
thank you. Yeah, I show him the video. I did a video for it. Yeah, show him the video.
I will. He's a big, he loves rap, and you've got a good message. That was beautiful, Jay. I love it. You know, your message, and we get in our own way of our dreams, and dreams are already happening, but it's like we get caught up thinking they're not really there when they're just waiting for us to step into them.
It really is that way. I had the beautiful, beautiful opportunity of doing a poem 2 weeks ago for Michael Jordan at his 30th anniversary dinner.
Wow.
And it was such a dream. I said, this is, you know, I'm happy I didn't get in the way of moments like this. You know, I'm standing on stage and I'm looking at Jordan and Magic Johnson and Spike Lee, and I'm like, this is absolutely amazing. Oh, let me do this poem, by the way. It was amazing. And I think that is true. I think, you know, there's so many beautiful opportunities just waiting for us, and we just have to stop getting in the way.
Absolutely. It's like I tell people, you don't have money, you make money. You just make it out of the blue. You don't have time, because people say, well, I'll write a book when I have time. I said, no, you don't have time. You make time. Like, it's, you know, you just carve it out. You just show up, and it's, you know, you have to make it, but it's right there as soon as you set the intention.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Changemaker with Zina Muzika.
So tell me a writing prompt that, you know, we could give our listeners, something that maybe, have you ever done a writing prompt for people where you start them out with a sentence or some sort of a thought, and then they can write from it? Because I'd love to have them ping us on J.I. They could, on Twitter, you're at J.I.V. I'm at Mistress of Tea. I'd love to see some quick poems, some flash poems. What do you think?
Something like, if I can embody every ounce of love and do away with the hate, what would I create?
If I could embody every ounce of love and do away with the hate, what could I create? Beautiful. Well, I'm going to take up that challenge. Actually, I kind of ponder things with a cup of tea, and then, but I'll ping you with that when this goes live. That's beautiful.
Yes. And I'll have some tea with you.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm from the tea. Yeah, I started a tea company called Gypsy Tea. And, you know, it was interesting. I didn't have money when I started. I started by throwing belly dancing tea parties. My family's gypsy from the Ukraine.
Oh, wow.
So I've done them in New York with Eve Ensler, and I've done them all over. But they're really spectacular. And so next time you're in L.A., you'll have to come to one of them and perform.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'll be there in April. So
okay.
Definitely.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So Jay, I want you just to give, you know, letters to a young poet. Talk to yourself when you're young and give yourself one or two pieces of advice that our listeners can hear and really take home and take to heart.
I would tell myself or my younger self or anyone that is young and looking forward, or even older and looking forward, I would tell them that they have every single thing already inside of them to create whatever it is that they want to do, to be whoever it is they want to be. I would tell them to be super, super confident in themselves, and to believe in themselves and to never, ever stop. I would tell them to ignore it. The negativity, the jealousy. I would tell them to learn from lessons, but don't get bogged down by them, and to just press on and dream very, very big, and know that there's, you know, I always say that, you know, space is the limit, but space is limitless. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, just reach and keep reaching and keep going. Just never, ever stop. I've seen so many people stop. And you never know what was around the corner if you would have just kept going, you know, a few more inches here. So
absolutely,
keep going.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And do you believe that resistance is actually the thing that starts to, like, as soon as you feel resistance, you know you're on to something great?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And another way someone once put it to me, ever so eloquently, they said, it said, Jay, if you don't have haters, that means you're doing something wrong. You know, if you don't have, you know, things that pushing back at you, you know, and it's it's more to it when it's not as easy.
Yeah.
You know, when you earn it, it's worth it. And I think that's what life is all about. You know, you stand very, a lot more prouder when you're able to earn it and fight for it. You know.
Yeah, there's something to the muscles we build by earning our successes. Well, Jay, I want to just thank you. I want everyone to go out and get Dear Father, Breaking the Cycle of Pain. It's available now on BarnesandNoble.com, in independent bookstores nationwide. Go out and support independent bookstores. Get the book. It's a great gift for... you know, I got it, and I'm giving it to my 15-year-old son. I think it's really important for young men to read it. I think it's really important for anyone who has had parent issues, which is basically, I think, 99.9% of humanity. So, So thank you, Jay. I really appreciate the work you do in the world. You are a force for good. You are a bright light, and I want you to keep shining. And for those of you listening, once again, Jay Ivey, you can send your writing prompt and remind us that writing prompt.
If you can embody every ounce of love and do away with the hate, what would you create?
All right. And so ping Jay at Jay Ivey on Facebook as well as Twitter. And I'm at Mistress of Tea. And we will be looking for your poems and your feedback. And hey, should we do a giveaway for a copy of your book?
I would love to do that.
Let's do it. I happen to know you. I know your publisher, so I think I could get a all copy, right, or two, cool, out of them.
So, cool, please. Yeah. Oh, and one thing before we go, I want to just tell everybody really quick. The book, one of the things we've done with the book is we want to inspire people to write letters to their father. So when you go to my website, j-ivy.com, you'll see a link called Dear Father Letters. So we want to inspire a million people to write letters. The mission is 1 million letters written, 1 million hearts healed. So we want a million people to write letters to their fathers, and let's have this conversation of healing together.
Wow. 1 million letters written, 1 million hearts healed. Oh, this is beautiful work. Well, we'll have you back, and I'm going to invite every single person on my Facebook to like you right now and to join your nonprofit effort. I think it's really a spectacular one, and I appreciate you, and thank you for being in the world, Jay.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity, the love. It's very warm on this call. Thank you for that.
Hey, I'm like everybody's big sister, so I got your back always.
Yeah, thank you.
Take good care, and thank you so much, listeners, for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the last 35 minutes of your life. I hope your life is better now, and don't forget to tweet us your poems and for a chance to win Jay Ivey's new book, Dear Father. Thank you so much.